They told me roughly what was permitted, which spheres I could pass through, where I was allowed to go and where I was not allowed to go. So, I was allowed to go to people in the earthly realm. That was also a wish of mine. I wanted to check on my own relatives and I wanted to visit this child who had prayed for me. I knew him well from life. Of course he had grown up now. When I made my first visits to my relatives in the earthly realm, I saw that I had been forgotten. No one spoke of me anymore. But I didn't take it badly. Others felt the same. Once you have passed through the gate to the afterlife, you are forgotten by people pretty quickly. But I definitely wanted to express my gratitude to this young person who had given me a special joy, or the first great joy in the spiritual realm. I wanted to give him joy too. Now I saw that this young girl was accompanied by spirits. These companions saw me and they saw that my intentions were not of an evil nature, but that I wanted to do something good for this person, and so I was allowed to come very close. I then saw that these spirits who accompanied this young human child held their protective hands over her. I could protect this child or young person from misfortune. I could give him certain inspirations that were necessary for his life. I could participate in certain. I was able to bring joy to this young girl by using people as tools and asking them to do this or that to make her happy. The protective spirits did not do that in this way. They held their protective hands over the young person according to their instructions. But what I did was something additional. They let me in, they saw that I wanted to reward the good things they had done me. So they let me in and I had the feeling that they were happy that I was also giving this young person one or more joys. I went near him very often. My relatives who lived there no longer thought of me. I also went in and out of their houses a few times. It was understandable that I was interested in them at first. But when I saw that I was forgotten by my relatives, I began to avoid their houses. I then sought out other people where I could learn something. I then turned my interest to other things, because from now on, as my work was less stressful and my freedom of movement increased, I also had to go to school. Now lessons began, now I was taught along with many others. Yes, there was much that was new to me, because in human life one was not properly taught about Christ's birth and death and about the whole task that he fulfilled. Now this was made clear to one in the first place. In general, the meaning of life was explained to one, as well as the burdens that people take on and how they must be made good. We were taught about the plan of salvation, how things should move forward. The many teachings of Christ were interpreted, and on the basis of these teachings, life and the necessity of helping in this plan of salvation were explained to us. We were told that we had now entered the state of God and were servants of this divine state to which we had to submit. We were of good will, and this is a certain advantage. If you are willing and obedient, it also has its advantages. That is how we were taught. Now the work only consisted of digging, the other half was teaching. We had to go to schools. In the spirit realm, we were taken to various spheres. However, these were only spheres that were on our level or below us. We could not ascend to higher spheres. So we were taught that the level or sphere in which one lives now also has its various levels, where one has a better or perhaps a harder life. That is how we were taught, and I also saw more and more the necessity of diligent work in this new world. But we did not only have to work, and we were not only taught. It was made clear to us that in heaven people also pray. In heaven they praise and glorify the Creator. People attended these big events where these festivals were celebrated, because people prayed, played music, sang, everything to the glory of God. They submitted to Him. Now it all belonged together. For me it was already a great step forward. I still had to do this work, and I was also taught about the meaning of this digging, this creation. But I also had my freedom. I could go into the earthly realm if I wanted to. But I could also fulfill a task that I could choose for myself in the spiritual realm. Just as I could go close to a person and exert my influence on him, I could go into a sphere in our world and exert my influence on one of the spirits who are still below, that is, partly suffering. I could tell them about my work and about my smaller scent. So I actually found life in purification interesting. In the beginning it was a bit hard and one was afraid. But actually, you soon came into a very harmonious relationship with these leading spirits, with these overseers. You realized that they were actually all loving beings and they only wanted the best for you. They gave you advice, not at first, they were taciturn, but later, when you had just submitted, they were more trusting. Then they were loving and gave you advice on how you could get out of your sphere or your kind of purification even more quickly. They explained about the more beautiful work that the other brothers and sisters did. Everyone had to work, even those who had not cheated anyone. Everyone had to work, but the work would be done in an edifying and beautiful way right from the start, so that you would enjoy doing this work and feel the greatest peace and happiness while doing it. Because you feel that you are someone in this divine family, that you are a real member of the divine family, that you are respected and that you are, brought joy to one another wherever possible. This and similar things were told to us about how things go in the higher spheres. So I slowly, slowly got myself out of it. My goodwill was to my advantage, that I was ready to say yes and do everything, and I submitted to the rule that was over me in this new world. But I would not like to omit to tell you something about the significance of my work. I explained to you that I was amazed and saw no significance in it when these overseers took something from this spiritual earth in their hands and touched it like a precious object. We who were digging there saw no difference in this earth, because our eyes and our feelings were still so clouded at that time. Only later, when I had ascended, was I taught about it. It was made clear to us. The upper layer of this spiritual earth was removed, it was taken to another sphere, and other trenches were covered with it. The earth from a certain depth onwards was fine. When we had a somewhat purified eye, I would say, we saw its wonderful color, we saw the wonderful vapor rising from it. So a certain layer, not much, of this spiritual earth that lay in the depths was carried away. It had to be led away, again into special spheres. Beings who were burdened in the same way as we were carried it in baskets away from this field, to a certain place. Then other brothers and sisters came, took these baskets and carried them up into a higher sphere. They took this precious spiritual earth with its wonderful splendor, with its power. This earth was spread out in the gardens of God, under the magnificent flowers there. In this way one carries this powerful spiritual earth from the deeper inside and carries it into a higher sphere. You will believe that in the spiritual world all spiritual earth is so permeated with power. But you must not forget that in the lower spheres, where the guilty spirits are, the earth to which they are bound, on which they stand and with which they work, is adapted to their vibrations, it is connected to them. So it takes a certain depth before you come across the precious spiritual earth and can carry something away from it. These spirits here are occupied with this, they have to do menial work. I was prepared to carry out this work. But I saw brothers and sisters who resisted, who did not like doing this sometimes dirty work. They believed that they were too distinguished, too noble to dig. On earth they had an easier job, they did not have to work so hard. The work falls to everyone here, it must be done. It is a struggle for some to do it, while in the higher spiritual world one admires this beautiful earth and knows that it was brought out by these burdened brothers and sisters who did not recognize its preciousness. But one is happy that the work has been done, with as little opposition as possible. And this brilliant, powerful spiritual earth from the interior of these fields, which is carried into the higher spheres, is so beautiful. It creates such a wonderful picture. In this earth one can see a splendor of colors, a shimmer, a shine. At first, when I was doing this work, I thought, on earth there are mineral resources, one digs for these treasures, and I also thought, are there really such treasures in the depths in heaven? And it seemed to me that in the other world, in these spiritual fields, there are also such precious treasures that are dug up but are not recognized as precious by the people working on them. But that is what these overseers are there for, they make sure that everything goes the right way. In the higher spheres, the spiritual flowers bloom so wonderfully from this powerful earth. If a handful of this beautiful earth is added to the flowers, it seems as if they become much, much more expressive in their splendor and colors. It is therefore the case that in this spiritual earth there is a precious, according to your concepts, odic power that provides nourishment for these precious flowers, for plants, trees and everything that stands and is there in these fields and meadows. It does not only need the word of God, let there be, and let it be beautiful, but it also needs the cooperation of the beings from beyond to create this splendor, this beauty. You cannot really understand this, and we do not hold it against you. We know it is difficult for you. But the time is not far away, perhaps then one or two of you will be standing here and digging. And then he may remember that hour and he knows that there is something precious in the depths. His eye is clouded and he cannot see it, but later, when he has been freed from the purification and has ascended, then he knows. He asked about the meaning of this work, about its significance. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you something about my experiences. I have briefly outlined my life and told you about the first time of my stay in the spiritual world. Today I no longer have to dig, today I have other tasks. But I was glad that I had been led to that place. I actually had to realize later, you had to work diligently, but if you did your work, then these overseers were also very fair with each individual. What I regretted very much was that I was not able to experience these joys as often as those for whom one prays and to whom it is made clear, in the hour of human prayer, you too, a being from beyond, can reach divine unity, and through this unity you enter into harmony. And harmony means peace and joy, giving joy, elevating yourself in the spirit. That is the advantage enjoyed by those for whom prayers are said. But there are also those who are so burdened and are not yet allowed to enjoy prayer. But nothing is lost. When they have completed the rigors of their purification, they too will be able to experience the hour of this unity, and they will be happy about it. And this feeling goes deep into the innermost part of the soul. It wants to anchor itself and never be lost again. Come what may, it should never be lost again. Like a seed, it should slumber in the depths of the soul and sprout at that hour when it becomes necessary for the seed to sprout and one recognizes the benefit of all the work, when one returns to the new life and realizes, you must remain in unity with God, and you must also pray for those who have gone before you. You should not forget them, you should be united with them. This is the seed that will then sprout much, much later. And so, dear brothers and sisters, may such a small seed also penetrate into the innermost part of your soul. And may it sprout at the time when it can bring you the greatest benefit. So I say goodbye to you and hand you all over to the protection and blessing of God. Greetings from God. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Spiritual World. In the subsequent question answer by Spirit Teacher Joseph, one questioner expressed his surprise that Edgar's purification period had lasted so long. Joseph, time heals, it organizes, it regulates and helps with ascension. Because what happens so quickly is not guaranteed to last. The soul must feel pain in its purification if necessary. It must realize what one wants to achieve with it. Many must first be lowered. They must be humbled, they must go through the low. Some people's arrogance must be dampened. It sometimes takes a lot. And yet, when they enter a new life on earth, you say that the purification took a long time, everything that was achieved with a lot of effort, and with time that was so precious to you is quickly forgotten again in this life on earth, it is lost again so quickly. That is why the time of purification can never be too long. No one stays in their place of suffering or hard work longer than they really have to and belong there. When we pray for our dead, like the child who prayed for Edgar, do we have to call them by name? Joseph, you should think of them. The idea that you want to pray for someone creates a connection with them. Report of the experience of the ascending spirit being Edgar and answers to questions from Spirit Teacher Joseph by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhalden Stress, Burek. Original, tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Next case. The 1st of November 1961, Jacob, causes and chain of a difficult fate. How a father becomes complicit in his son's misdeeds by neglecting his duty to raise his child. Joseph, start of the recording after his introductory words on the memorial days of All Saints and All Souls. How few people there are who believe that the deceased only died for the world, but do not understand that they live on in the kingdom of God, that they come to visit, stay with their relatives now and then, and also stand there to protect and warn. And yet, these days, so many people remember their dear departed. It would be our wish that they would look at everything with different eyes and come a little closer to the wisdom and glory of God. Then it would become clear to them that God did not simply create man to live on earth for a few years, and then be dead forever. A kind, wise God does not create like that. People must go to the earthly kingdom, it serves their salvation. When they have given up their earthly bodies, become ill and tired and earthly death has come, then comes the spiritual birth. Life goes on in the spiritual realm. This is how a wise God creates. After all, man is something wonderful and precious. If he were to become aware of this and of his responsibility, he would not be able to wage war and bring misfortune upon his neighbor when he came closer to God. But I do not need to address you in this sense. I would just like to express a wish. If only a small number of those who walk to the cemeteries today and tomorrow remember that the deceased are not dead, but continue to live, many people would change their own lives. If people were completely convinced that life goes on and that they are held accountable for everything they have done, many people would lead a better life. Well, friends, you have been connected with us for so long, the majority of those present, and so from time to time, a spirit is brought here to you who speaks of his life, of his activity in the afterlife, of the life he has lived and of what he has learned in general. In this way you can observe the diversity of beings. We make it possible for brothers and sisters with different levels of development to make themselves known, all of this for your further instruction. Now, may God bless you this hour. May you listen attentively. God bless you. Jacob, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I have been asked to introduce myself to you. My name is Jacob. It may not be particularly easy for me to speak at first until I have found the right path. I have been tasked with telling you about my current activity, but I must also give you information about my last and second to last life. I am now in a beautiful world. I do a job that I enjoy very much. As a human being, I would never have believed that I had such talents. I am active in the artistic field. I can paint, I shape and design and thus contribute to the beautification of our world. I was able to go to school with spiritual masters, in painting, in shaping and in general design. This gives me great joy. At first I did not create any works of art, but with the advice and guidance of our masters I have already created very pleasant pictures and shapes. They stand here and there in the gardens, in the houses, in the temples, and so it is also a joy for me. Our ideas are stimulated, because these artists, these masters, gather together and show us a work. They lead us around in spiritual nature, show us the plants, the flowers, the animals and in this way also teach us a sense of color and the noble drawing of lines. So it was a long, long road that I have traveled. But today I have reached a point where I find great satisfaction and great joy in my work. And I believe that this is the wish of every soul who enters the state of God, to do work that gives one joy, not just to work because one has to, but to experience that the work is both edifying and joyful. Certain abilities are also required for this. They are developed by these spiritual masters, as I have emphasized. But I do not want to talk about it any longer, but simply make it clear to you that now or at the moment my occupation is of this kind and that I am very satisfied and happy with it. Since my previous life as a human being on this earth, a period of, I cannot say exactly, it was calculated for me, 200 to 300 years has passed. I had a difficult life. I was only a woodcutter. I collected wood in the forests and had to work some of it. It was not easy work and, by your standards, very poorly paid. Well, I had a family at home, children, and one of these children was not normal. This child worried me a lot. I had no means to give him special care. It should be stressed that at that time there were no opportunities for this, so to speak, and that people did not pay as much attention to the individual as you people pay to your health today. So my family lived on, and I only brought home a meager wage, sometimes a little game, which we were particularly happy about when we had something good to eat again. I struggled, in general, with life as it was. This work, poor pay, such meager food, such a sick child, who I could not enjoy and who, as I have emphasized, I felt was a burden and to whom I did not pay any special attention. Well, that is how we lived. Fortunately, as I believed, this child, it was a boy, only lived to be 20 years old. Then he was allowed to pass over into the spiritual world. I thought I had gotten rid of a great burden. In later years, when we got on well with the other children and they also contributed what was necessary to the maintenance of the whole family, we were better off. But I never forgot the bad times, and I never stopped complaining that God did not ensure that his children had a better life. I saw that the others around me were not much better off either, but they were dissatisfied with themselves and with the whole world. And this dissatisfaction did not exactly contribute to the harmony of family life. In short, they burdened ourselves, without we knowing it. We all believed in God, but I was never a pious person. Then the time came when I became ill and old and had to leave this world. In the spiritual realm, this son now stood before me. But he was no longer the suffering, the handicapped one. No. He stood tall and upright and greeted me as a father. He even showed his joy towards me, although I had never given him love or special attention. This affection, which people have today in orderly circumstances, so to speak, was unknown in my time. There was no kind behavior and so on. People passed each other coldly. There was never a particularly kind word that would have been considered ridiculous. People were rough. Now it seemed a little strange to me how kindly and affectionately my son greeted me. He hugged me. We had never known anything like that. We had never hugged each other, and now he said he wanted to help me. The first thing I asked or said to him was, "How did you get so well, now?" Then he explained to me, only the body was sick, the spirit was not sick. The spirit was only humiliated and put into such a body. Now I have worn out and am free, and so I would like to help you now. Because he saw the shortcomings in my life, he had also had to suffer from my cold heart. So he showed himself to be helpful. He had already consulted with these noble and beautiful figures. Yes, he had put in good words for me. I heard him say, "My father had a hard life. He had to go out in all weathers, in winter, in the greatest cold. I can still see him in front of my eyes, coming home freezing, with inadequate clothes and shoes and so on. He worked for us children. Don't forget it, you have to give him credit for that. He always went to work." These distinguished figures stood there and listened, as if they wanted to say, "Yes, yes, we saw that too." But they had not given their consent to be so pleased with me. Now they told me that I had to go through purification. I had to learn what understanding was, how to get a little closer to my neighbor. I had to overcome this coldness and practice the love of God. "Yes," I said, "my son could teach me that." I was okay with that. And they answered, "Good, your son should accompany you through purification and he can teach you a little love." It was not easy for me at the beginning. It was difficult. I had to make do with a dark sphere and I had nothing to do. I was, so to speak, spellbound. But I was glad that my son was there. During this time of exile that I experienced, my son began to give me explanations. He said, "Father, do you even know why I had to be born as a suffering person? And do you know why you, of all people, had to have me as a child?" "No," I said, because I was still so dazed and surprised that people continued to live. As a human being, I had never thought that life could continue after death. People simply hadn't thought about it, at least I hadn't. Now I was ready to listen. And the time in this darkness, in this spell, was made easier for me by the explanations and teachings of my son. He said to me, "Father, I'm taking you back to the past." And he explained to me, "You were my father once before and I was your son. I burdened myself very heavily back then. I went out to rob, I stole everything. I harmed people, I caused them suffering. I didn't work, this was my work, I just stole and lived off of it. I also brought home some of the stolen goods, and you knew that there were stolen goods. You knew that I had harmed many people. You tolerated it, you never said a word that it was wrong, no, you closed your eyes. Now, you opened eyes wide and looked at me, as if you wanted to say, 'It is time for you to bring something home again.' So you tolerated the theft that I had committed." I was amazed that it had really been like that, and I asked him, "Were the other children that I have also my children in the life before the last?" "No," he said, "only I was already your child then, and so you had to tolerate me in the last life. I was repugnant to you, and you had to tolerate me, you were ashamed of me in front of the others. You had to have me, and I deserved to live like that. My spirit has absorbed the humiliations that have come to me from my fellow human beings." The spirit was awake at the time when it could not work through the body, through the organs, through the mind, and so apparently dozed away to the human eye. The spirit was actually awake. And so I have forgiven those who have cursed me. I have always said that God may forgive them, because they do not know the cause. And I, my spirit has prayed a lot. The spirit could do it, because it did not have the possibility to work through the body. Well, that is what my son told me, and he reported how he came to the spiritual world at that time, after his penultimate life. I now report in my son's spirit, when I came back, and I must emphasize this, I was treated harshly by the spiritual world and punished accordingly. I did not die a natural death, I was killed. When I opened my eyes in the spiritual realm, I was very astonished. At first it was not dark around me, but light. But I soon realized that this brightness only came from the people standing in front of me. They looked at me very sternly and said to me, "What a reprehensible life! What a person you were! Come with us." I knew the way. I was led near my village. There was a stream. As a child, I often went to this stream with my siblings to play, throw stones, catch fish and the like. When it was dry, we were able to spend most of our free time in this stream, and my siblings and I spent most of our free time in this stream. In this stream bed there were very special stones that we enjoyed. Now one of these noble, beautiful figures took me by the arm and said, "You will stay here." The angel led me to the stream to one of these stones, he sat me down on it and said, "This is your home, here you shall live for the foreseeable future." I thought, "I will find the way out of here, I know the area, I will not be standing here in this stream for long." The angel did not say many words, but left. I had to recover a little first. I had to think about everything that had happened. So I was alive. And it seemed so strange to me that I should now live near the house where I lived and near where I had carried out those raids. But then I went out of the stream, I saw the water flowing through me, it did not bother me, went to the bank and walked up and down. So I thought, "I am not tied to this stone at all, I have freedom of movement, my dwelling is big enough for me to be happy with." So I wanted to go back to the paths I had always taken in the dark, to see which wagons of strangers were passing by, so that I could take possession of their belongings. Then I saw the wagons coming again, but I no longer felt like following them, for what should I do with these things? It had now become quite clear to me, I am now subject to a different law and I am trying to make the best of it. It was no longer of any use to me to force any loot. As I now tried to go further and further into the surrounding area and into the village, it suddenly seemed as if the ground beneath my feet was burning. I felt pain. Then I avoided it, I did not go any further, but went back again. But it hurt me so much that I ran away as fast as I could to sit down on the stone again.